Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast monthly album roundup for the month of April 2024. I'm your host, Robert, and I've managed to go another week without being the victim of a Kendrick Lamar diss track. Let's hope that streak keeps going. And with me, I have...
Okay, yeah, I'll stay at your place again for a while. Hopefully that weird shit happen. It should be all good, all fine, and... What happened in the background? I see a bunch of stuff over the sky. Oh, God.
Wait, tornadoes out in Florida? Good God, the weather's really... Okay, tornadoes, Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, and oh my God, it's Kendrick! No! Damn it! I was on such a good streak, too!
Yeah, but mixed up. Twisters and Bad Boys 4 been like, that would have been chaotic. Just have Martin Lawrence, Will Smith just do shit and not make that. Well, technically, the shit's involved, it'd be a hurricane. But I don't know.
Listen, Florida weather basically functions on like a D20 dice roll, like Dungeons and Dragons. It could be anything.
Yeah. And since it's a Twisters, well, yeah, that's a trailer. I mean, the headlines of the first one, I know it's like a bunch of shit happens, and the one thing that turned my eye was Twisters the album, which, oh boy, and judging by the sound of what they used, that might be some country shit. Because I think it's supposed to be a track, or it's supposed to be something from Luke Combs coming, I don't know, somewhere in the week. I can tell that. Yeah, it's going to be some country shit, but then again, the first Twister soundtrack had more like a, you know, soft rock 90s shit. And yeah, I mean, yeah, we got to start coming with that, but yeah.
Yeah, that's how it'd be. I don't know, I haven't seen the trailer yet, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be one of the movies of all time. But we're not a movie podcast yet. We are a music podcast. So we have our roundup here, as always, for the past April. And, there were albums coming out aside from the obvious thing that was occupying a lot of people's time.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe in the roundup for May, we'll just have to, like, fucking... I swear to God, if he drops like a whole ass EP called Fuck Drake.
Yeah, I guess he has to mix it coming out this week, coming out tomorrow. Don't really. He has to. Although apparently, I guess in a feud against Gunna, which. Whatever. For Gunna.
Wait, are we actually getting like a Drake mixtape tomorrow?
No. Future.
Oh, yeah, Future. That guy exists.
Yes, he does.
But now we need to get into the nitty-gritty, and of course, just to head off the obvious, it is just me and Mark tonight, as Alex is sadly sick for the time being.
Yeah.
Tis not good, but hopefully he makes a swift recovery as soon as possible. But we're going to go ahead and kick things off here, first of all, with talking about what actually did come out the past month. Some of the more notable releases, week by week, all that good stuff. So, of course, we're going to get that started by talking about April 5th, 2024. Starting right here at the top, there was a new album from the progressive metalcore band Era with Cure. From Kruangbin, we had their new album Alasala. From Lil Wayne and Wheezy, we had... Wheezy versus Wheezy. Oh my God, that title is so fucking stupid. Speaking of the beef, there was also J. Cole's Might Delete Later. Not Might, Will. From Glorilla, we had A Thang. From the Black Keys, we had Ohio Players. And of course, it was the newest album from Vampire Weekend with Only God Was Above Us. Now, moving on to the week of April 12th, 2024, there was a new album from Tear with Battle Ballads, a new album from the band Whores with War, from the death metal band Necrot, there was Lifeless Birth, from Northlane was their newest album, Mirror's Edge, possibly no relation to the games. from Drum, we had Drum and B. There was a collab project between Baby Rose and Bad Bad Not Good with Slow Burn.
Oh, that happened?
Seems like it, yeah.
Okay, I'm just missing that.
From Blue Oyster Cult, we had their newest album, Ghost Stories. No relation. from Dire Straits guitarist Mark Knopfler, there was the album One Deep River. From the noise rock band Metz, we had Up on Gravity Hill. From Aaron West and the Roaring Twenties, that is the solo project of Dan Campbell from the Wonder Years, their new album In Lieu of Flowers. That was, of course, the new Linkin Park compilation Paper Cuts. From Yo Wasobi, we had their new release E-Side 3, which I think is just like English language recordings of some of their anime OP stuff from recent years. And, of course, Future and Metro Boomin, Always Still Don't Trust You. Then moving on to the week of April 19th, 2024, from My Dying Bride, we had their new album, Immortal Binding. From High on Fire, their new album, Cometh the Storm. From the screamo band See You Space Cowboy, we had their new album, Coup de Gras. From the band Couch Slut, their newest album, You Can Do It Tonight. From Gangrene, Heads I Win, Tails You Lose, that is The Alchemist and Oh No. From the band Cloud Nothings, we had their new album, Final Summer. From Pearl Jam, their newest project, Dark Matter. And, of course, from Taylor Swift, there was The Tortured Poets Department. But was it Taylor made for her, though? let's see. Then, for the last week of April 26th, 2024, there was the newest album from Accept with Humanoid. Black Tusk with their new album, The Way Forward. From Dark Throne, their newest album, It Beckons Us All. From the grindcore band Full of Hell, there was the album Coagulated Bliss. From Inter Arma, we had their new album, New Heaven. From the power violence band Antichrist Demon Core, there was their new album, Goat. From Alien Ant Farm, we had Mantras. From St. Vincent, we had her new album, All Born Screaming. And last but certainly not least, from the French electronic duo Justice, there was Hyperdrama. So, a decent collection of stuff here and there, although, as we were kind of talking about, like, before the recording, seems like Mark and I kind of have relatively short lists in comparison to, like, some of the beefier months, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think this one had to send me last year in April as well. Like, or at least it's kind of like, I had a big month in March, but April slowed things down.
Yeah, we'll see how things pick up in May, but of course, now we're going to get a little bit more into the weeds with some of these albums and maybe an album or two I didn't touch on. So, Mark, you go right on ahead.
All right. Well, I got five albums to tell you about. And, well, the first one's going to be, well, mostly for the first time, well, mostly a non-hip-hop one, that being Justice with Hyperdrama.
Nice.
So since hearing about, you know, the singles coming out with the release, I'm like, okay, I'm definitely into the thing because Justice, we heard from the type of music called French House, whatever. You think, you know, names like M83, Kabinski, and of course Daft Punk. Justice way up there too. We hear songs like Stress or Genesis, which again, the Jungle Part 4 scene, you know the one. And of course, you're singing to this album, Hyperdrama from, with One Night, All Night with Tame Impala, Generator, Entertainment, and Saturnine, which I'm like, okay, I'm, really anticipating this. And you know what? And what did I get out of this? Yeah, I really like this record a lot. And I'm just going to say, this is the best album since Cross. Like the other times I got like Audiovisual Disco and Woman, which I did put in my top 10 list in 2016, but then again, that was when I was starting out doing these lists, so things might change at the time, but yeah, I think this is, I mean, this has got to be more than the past. I was like, this is just a blend of what makes them, like, you get the blend of new disco, you get the synth-pop shit, and you get the very hard electronic shit that they're known for, like. Although, I will say, like, Tempala is featured twice, like, the first track they got is Never Ender, which is a good song this album, which the vocals of Tempala does really well, which I think I might like this more than All One Night, but yeah, this has a better blend of feels, like, we said, because I remember the hardest time I don't ever, I think this vocals does really well here, and they really fit in here. I will say, like, after Image has a, you know, it has an alright beat, but it's not, you know, one of the more aesthetic ones that I don't hear, but the vocals from singer Ramon is like, okay, that does amp a bit for me. Dear Alan might be one of my favorite tracks on here, mainly because how the song, it just got this future funk feel from, and every time, and into the song, like, every time to the song, or it's like, go on YouTube to the song, the one comes like, it's a tribute to, this name, Alan Brax, which was one of the earlier French songs, which, I don't know, he's part of duo Stardust, that's a trio from, you know, with vocalist Benjamin Diamond and Thomas Bangalter, aka the one guy from Daft Punk, which, now think about it, those of them Stardust did a song, I know it's called Love Old,
Music Love Sounds Voice. Better With You?
Yes, that's the one.
Literally the one. Only one song, but goddamn, did they make it count for all it's worth. That's a classic.
Yeah, it is. And also samples a song called Dear Brian by Chris Rainbow, which, okay, there might be some reference there. And like how, like, near the end of the track, it's got this really glitchy breakdown in the end. It was like, oh, okay. It's basically going crazy on it, which, I'm dipping more into this. And of course, we got the single Incognita, which, again, that track I just love because it begins this very sweeping, glamorous production, like, this, like, it's not that music sounding here, it's very heavy, and then it cuts to basically, you're in a futuristic car chase, to me, in an action movie. It's like, let's say, oh, what is this place? And then cut to you being chased by somebody, chased by the bad guy. Like, oh, fuck, we gotta run, like, basically that.
Yeah,
I get now, it. Now, the thing with, you know, Dirty Incognito, like, you hear these lyrics, it's forever, nothing feels better, if you brought in heaven, must be more than Mannequin Love. We'll just leave the next song called Mannequin Love. Which, yeah, go figure. This song vocals by, I'm guessing this band called The Flints. It's a song that got the most pop sound to it. It's like, basically the song is kind of like, you know, referencing, you know, fake love. You know, like a mannequin saying, you know, the thing you see in department stores that, there's told like humans and malls, and by the way, malls, you know, the things you, well, that's the place you go where you shop for things, where you go and get things on your own, in case somebody forgot about that. Well, for a younger audience, if you have any, yeah. But yeah, I just say, like, that's all the sense of what the sport with the women and the swing arpeggios, which, that sounded right, those are kind of right, like, yeah. Then there's track Moonlight Rendezvous, which got this, it's this interlude, got this swanky and jazzy atmosphere. You got saxophones, you got horns. It feels like something you hear out of Cowboy Bebop. Like, at least you hear either that or one of their soundtrack albums. or I don't know anything from Shinsuke Watanabe.
Those are the good vibes right there, man.
And then we got this. And then we got this next song, "Explore," which this might be the one. This might be what I checked out. This might be something I would hear from Kavinsky or something out of Tron. Which, come to think of it, someone come in the house sound like something from The Legend of Zelda. Based off comments that I heard from the song, that I saw from the song. All the features come from New Zealand funk musician. Conan Moccasin doing spoken word, or I don't know, vocals. It's really like, okay, you got this very weird atmosphere, which does get slowed down, right? And also, here's the thing, you know how when you hear this, okay, like when you hear Saturn as a single at first, you're wondering, the start sounds a little bit off to you, like it sounds like.
I was wondering about that ever since we first heard it.
Yeah, it turns out before that there was an interlude called Harpy Dream, which I feel like that should have been part of the song, because it sounded like you could have included that part into Saturnine as a whole, because it just sounds like you just cut the shit, but still love that song. That song always gets a lot of play for me every time I listen to it, like even before and after the album, which is like the album. And of course I like Miguel's vocals on here, and yes, I know something was Prince thing, but hey, if somebody do the Prince thing when he's not around, and fuck it, I accept that. And then it caps off to the track, the last track, The End, which, yeah, that's The End. And the feature that surprised me, and the one that I first saw that I figured, oh, this gotta be good, it features Thundercat.
Oh.
Yep. Okay, to be fair, they did show an album track list preview thing, or at least with me album. Like, I saw Thundercat, like, oh, this is a little bit awesome. Like, and this track, it's not really good. Like, this is something you would hear from Thundercat. Like, it sounds like some of a final, I mean, like a final boss theme, which of course, execution, like, is this the end? Because I remember this feeling. I can't speak, and I feel like basically, it's like, okay, this is something you would say at the end, and I gotta say, Thundercat and them nailed it. Like, this album just gave me like the energy, the rush, the groove that I feel like the other two just albums that didn't fully deliver. Like, there's not one track that I thought was bad. Like, even tracks I thought was just okay, or still good. It's like, from start to finish, I'm like, man, this is really great. I got the same energy I got when I listened to Cross for the first time. And Cross is still one that best works. I say Hyperdrama is second to Cross, because it got enough power, enough groove, enough dudes keep us tight and expected. And yeah, like, I mean, even though this year I haven't really thought of album of the contenders, to be honest, like, I thought some of them were good, but this one might be the one that say, okay, this one, there'll be something that says album of the year contender for me, because I just did the hell of it. Like, yeah, it's a very satisfying album. So yeah, I'm gonna go with that. Well, and I hope y'all enjoyed that very non-hip-hop section of my talk, because guess what? The next four are hip-hop. This is the other one that I made that review for the site. Oh, look at the time. Oh, look, it's Alchemist O'Clock. with Alchemist and Oh No, with head, well, as Gangrene. It's Heads I Win, Tails You Lose. You hear from cartoons all the time. It's like, Heads I Win, Tails You Lose. Either way, get your ass in that dude shit for me. Yeah. So yeah, going in this, like, that Did I have high expectations? Not really, but I know what I'm getting. But I know what I was getting into. It's like, I expected some enough, but it wasn't some kind of dope bars from them, and the usual issue production from them. And given how Alchemist and Ono, produce their own shit, they've been good to great. I mean, they'll forget. They were part of people who did the score for Grand Theft Auto 5, which that's still kind of, that's still kind of amazing to me. Like, okay. Some bars in there are kind of like, okay. Bit Rex and Prehistoric Flexin, I spray 48 cookie on the course section. Confess my sins, I hope the Lord accept it. Put it blunt, man, it's a weed test. It's a T-Rex. Ground shaker effects, itchy trigger, finger flex. Keep pushing the button like the function in VTech. My DNA produces the evolution of Velociraptors. Anything that deals for me, those aeronautical fossils, you rap hostiles, never lose colossal. That's from a track called Dinosaur Jr.
I understood that reference.
Not to mention, most of nothing here. Do you remember we talked about that one Madlib track with your old Drew that how some song sounds like something you sound they step on Hanna-Barbera cartoons. I got that feeling here, like you feel like you get this out of some either obscure or well known 70s cartoon music. It's like it's like the Gates of Hell, the one track got this grimy 70s groove with that sounds like some out of a Fat Albert cartoon, like it's from the bass, which is like okay. And of course there's a sound like Cloud Serpent, which got this, the easy listening sound, basically like something you either hear from Larry June projects or Yacht Rock 2. At least you got from the sound, never step out of laws, where I check involved into the needle, into the groove, and let it resolve it, because of that, like, no, I knew what Alchemist own note, both do a bars and production on this, like, I know there's like tracks like, Alchemist produced and then Ono produced, and of course they both rap here, and they got some good ones to go crazy. Okay, anyway, the beats always got something tricky about them. Would it be a drumless loop, a sample where I'm thinking, where the hell that come from? Because these are samples that I either don't know where it's from, or I do know where it's from, but I'm not trying to do a sample such a shit, because I don't feel like being called out on that. They got like a funky vibe or some sound bites in the song. Well, of course, I say, play the Alchemist a lot. Oh no, it's sharper this game, sharper this pen on the boards too. Like, his verse on Espionage got some good ones here. It's like goon shit, dirty ass from lit. It's not the depth as a whole scrub, swollen shrub. It's only nugs that I don't go to clubs. I leave that for the youngsters and the thugs. This old man want that old money, hear the plugs. Niggas, that a touche or a toupee. They move dates, take two or 2Ks. For Luke crazy, they break through the hoodies like a Luke Cage. Yeah.
Motherfucking Luke Cage.
This show was decent. I like that show. Okay. Anyway, that's my album. Not much bringing here. Like, you got a Bo James feature on Just Doing Art, which algorithm line. I'm short. I got a complex like playing Bowling Apart with a frozen heart. Man. The beat had this menacing and haunting vibe that works perfectly in the vocals. The track you should join the army sounds like something you would hear out of an MF Doom and Madlib about 20 years ago. Like, the beat of it sounds like something you would hear MF Doom rap on, like something you would hear from Matt Billing or something like that. If you heard it, you'll know. In the close out with a muffler along, got this very classical music style with the horns, piano, sounds like a cerato from someone from that, like Beethoven, like all that shit. But yeah, while Yeah, I mean, yeah, granted, the album, like, it's not new, it's nothing to come from the duo, like, and there's nothing wrong with that, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, like, again, it's one of the cases where it's like, if the formula works, then it works. The beats are always extraordinary, different, unique. Both albums on those, both albums on those deliver some solid bars, and perhaps very short, or it's not as long, it's like somewhere like 30 something minutes, which that's a good album length. That's a good album length. Which yeah, I'll go with that. Okay, I thought the one short one, from okay, this one from Richie, who for those who might be wondering who, he's the front man of Biostorm, formerly known as Injury Reserve.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he has an album out titled Triple Digits. 112, which, you know, in brackets, 112, which of course, I didn't really know the album coming out, which, you know, given the whole thing, you know, with Biostorm and, you know, East Reserve and how they move things on after the death of 17 Groggs, and yeah. And apparently the album title is inspired by, well, the weather, well, their weather. They live in Arizona. As in, it's hot!
Yeah,
It's like
that should be unpleasant.
What I heard. Anyway, that's what's different. I don't like. It's more that like from even though like I have listened like the earlier Reserve albums, even their debut like a couple years back, and it's still got the more that experimental hip hop thing that they've been doing, and it sounds good. Like you got tracks like Richie Valens, get it. Yeah, you got a single Dizzy featuring Amina. We ain't heard from you in a while,
Oh, yeah.
and of course, over a few on the album, man, you know, some just it's like it's how people you know how people in hot weather act the fool, like at like the crazy shit, you know, since when summer comes around, and since well, summer's around the corner, as you can see, like it's a brief listen, like. Like Richie carried, like it's got a Richie carried an album, you know, with people from, you know, except for Mine, Deontay, and Curly Chris as the, you know, just those three features, which the beat on, the beat on How, which is like, okay, it's more laid back, but it's a little key bop, and yeah, I gotta say, like some of the songs here, like they got that, you know, the usual, they got that thing that I do know from Ninja Server. It's like it's a good listen. I'll say it's a good listen. Okay, and now for the last two, which these are, well, I mean, yes, it's more of the beef. It's more of the beef with this one. Feature Metro Boomin, We Still Don't Trust You. Yeah. So I think I might want to reiterate this again. Look, we know in the past that we talk shit about Future a lot, and. I guess by the time this thing passes by, I don't know, we might go back to that. I don't know. I mean, he got like a mixtape coming out tomorrow. And of course, and of course, with this album, I'm gonna say, wow, this was a long one. This is, yeah, the gist of this thing is 25 tracks in 88
Ouch.
minutes,
What the fuck?
and a majority. And the majority of this is mostly him on his R&B shit, like he did on his album Hendrix, which that was 2017, where he released, you know, that and that self-titled one, which that song which that song which that album had, you know, the single Mask Off, which then became big, and of course I got a remix with Kendrick Lamar, which
It's all connected.
Of course. But yeah, like I said, this has 25 tracks. Yeah, 25 tracks. Like the majority of it's mostly like him doing his R&B shit. And I figured, oh, okay. I did not expect this to be there. But of course, do we get some Drake disses in there? Well, we kind of do. Mostly from The Weeknd. This one track, All to Myself. Which I'm a quote. Look how we moving, baby. They can never diss my brothers, baby. when it got leaked in the operation, I thank God I never saw my life away. And we never do the big talk. They shoot us making TikToks, guys slapping the Lambo. Although, with that say, hearing what happened recently with that thing, and apparently it might involve mostly some of the XO thing and also is a reminder that, yeah, good thing we did not sign the OVO, because he would have been nowhere.
Yeah.
And also, they mentioned that the song samples the Isley Brothers Let's Lay Together. Yeah, I guess we come to Isley Brothers, they sometimes make good samples. Think about it. Like I said, this album is most majority of Future Moon is trap R&B thing, and but spent most of it, maybe kind of a little bit, maybe some from the weekend, but it's a long listen. It's a long listen. Like just like a few features that that people just said there. Like, of course, that's what we like there's Brownstone, a mid-90s R&B group that I ain't heard in a while, because it's like, oh yeah, I remember that group. Like, oh yeah, because I remember always watching that on the days when music videos always come on. Which, okay. Of course, you got people like Ty Dolla $ign doing his thing, mostly getting away for one person. Just like, here's another demerit on this list. On Drinking Dance, Chris Brown has additional vocals. So yeah, like I said, additional vocals. So I guess he just, like, you hear his voice, but yeah. But I can't think there's one feature that I'm missing here. And, hi, J. Cole. Yeah, he appeared on the last track of the first disc, Red Leather, and okay, well, it might have a nice melodic West Coast vibe sound. It sounds like something you would get out of a J. Cole album, to be honest. And yet, it sounds better than most of what he got from his other albums. And then it comes the second disc, which is basically like an EP. Like, the first disc has 18 tracks, other has 7. It's basically an album and an EP, but the EP is more rap. It's more hip hop, basically. What you got from the first album. And of course, you got features from Little Baby Ann. Okay, remember when I say the track, so remember when you said, why is ASAP Rocky throwing a diss? Yeah, the track Show of Hands, which got this quote, niggas for their bitches the baddest, I just bet the worst one. Niggas and they feelings over women. What, you hurt for something? I smash for you birth, son. Fuck, I hit it first, son. They don't trust you, it's always us, never them. Hurt, rich, related shit, funny how just came and went. It felt like a light jab, but basically him saying, I got to be my mom's first. So, haha. But, although, it's kind of like how Ray J did that whole shit. Like, I hit it first. Did that whole thing. Yeah. And of course, that's the reason why, Drake do shots at Rocky. All of it again, you're basically making fun of him for being Mr. Rihanna, which, every motherfucker wants to be him, at least during that part.
Yeah, that's not a diss. That's like most people's penthouse forum letters.
So yeah, like I said, I guess after this album, I guess go about to not care about his music after this, because I mean, I sort of get why most people fuck with him. Like, the whole toxic rap shit, and yeah, and of course, Metro's Conductor is solid here. I think I like about it is Metro's beat, but yeah, I guess, some of the origins of this rap beat started out of an album from Metro and Boomin. Oh, it was the last album, but yeah. And there's one more to cover. Oh, looky here. Hi, J. Cole, again.
Oh, did you actually listen to that?
Yes, I did. Now, there's some of you expected it. Now, because of J. Cole, some of you expected that one album he come out, The Fall Off, to come soon, but no, he got, well, this was, well, this is actually, well, a mixtape. A mixtape, the first one, not supposed to be for Rock Nation. And of course, I heard about, you know, about J. Cole, about, you know, how J. Cole said, yeah, I give up, you win, go ahead. Go ahead. Now, some of you saying, you know what, maybe it's good that he left, because, like, you know what, he got awarded that shit, which, on one hand, well, you know what, I'll get to that later, but, yeah, about this album, mixtape, whatever, the one elf in the room, yeah, the track that no longer available for streaming, Cinnamon and Drill. Yeah, that song, which you go, like, you still doing shows but fell off with The Simpsons. First shit was classic, the last shit was tragic. The second shit put niggas to sleep, but they gassed it. The third shit was massive, and that was shit, and that was your prime. I was chilling right behind, and I just hit mine. Boy, I got bars on the controversy. Fun thing here, bitch, I don't want the prestige. But the game is because them crackers ain't done nothing for me, ho. Slugs took my nigga's soul. Drugs took another one. The rap beef ain't really the shit I done to Cumberland. The average one hand burst every 30 months or something. It wasn't dissing, he would be discussing him. Okay, this is the only thing wrong. This is the only thing that I don't even do is, like, he says, felt like The Simpsons. Okay, look, I get it. Some people gonna be like being like The Simpsons, all right? Like, I mean, I watched more The Simpsons, and, like, it ain't terrible. Like, it's like, I can still watch it. Like, because the whole Simpsons felt thing is like, okay, now it's getting kind of annoying. And the whole thing with, you know, your first ship is classic, last ship is treasure. Like, did you listen to, I guess, did you listen to this around either J. Cole? And the thing is, the whole thing is confusing because like the first thing he's talking about was Good Kid, Mad City. The second one was Pimp Butterfly. Third one is Damn. Even though the first record, even though I guess he been my first mainstream record because his first album was either Such an 80. And I'm like, wait, yeah, that just confuses things. That's like, okay.
The second and I have to start doing math to figure out a diss, you lose.
Yeah. And the thing is, again, you call his record boring yet, I talked about some of your albums. And they got replayed by out of me because I ain't gonna mention them multiple times for viewing purposes. And guess what? I ain't met them since. Hell, like that. I'm 4 hours only. It's just a beautiful butterfly at first, and that one was mad best. You and Kendrick started the same time as you started and the whole, like, he does something every few years or so shit. Maybe because, I don't know, it feels, you know, more genuinely surprising. Like, Grant J. Cole, it's not like Drake, he doesn't try to do his own thing. And I would say, like a lot of J. Cole albums, mixtapes, whatever, it is very mid. And yes, mid as in average. That's what the fuck mid means. Just so y'all know. Like, even with some move from streams, there's not much to give a shit about. Like, I get the reason why he removed that track, you kind of doing that. Something was mental health and trying to set the spirit of peace. Okay, fine. I can buy that. I can buy it. Nothing wrong with that. There's two things wrong with that. With, with, with that statement, to be honest with me. I'm guessing, yeah, you went, yeah, yeah, what the fuck have you just known them back in 2020? Like, you were doing that thing back then? Because you went harder on her than you did on Kendrick, to be honest. And also, no name kind of smoked your ass on the track once before. Remember that? And also, okay, you removed Seven and Drill, but you didn't remove Pie.
Was you that know, the one the song that had the casual transphobia on it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one. That's that song. Which, I mean, you still kind of dissed him. So, what happened with that? It's not just mean spirit and all that shit. Like, and the thing is, that could have been cut out because, or at least it could have been, I don't know, Absolute Daylight track, because those two were never kind of dope. It could have made it, and it could have been a decent track, just cut J. Cole off of it. Like, this track had potential to be good, but it didn't. It's like, you kept the track, but you moved that man Drew because it messed with your piece. It's a stupid move, like, you proofing, and keeping like, you're not really worth caring about. And maybe Kendrick's right when you said about fuck Big Three is just Big Me. Because you still proved me to be very, 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 very average. Like some of the tracks in there, I won't mention, like, okay, the one where Ari Lennox was decent. Sticks and Stones was kind of decent, well, but then again, that one will produce by Well the Optimist. So surprise. I like that track. You know, doesn't fit the J. Cole track, but it sounds cool when I have enthusiastic ass. Other things produced, but this is a song that you probably should delete later because, be fair, I could have said it might forget later. And after listening to this, I'm going to forget about this later. Again, you got lucky by walking away, just wants to fight from afar.
If only he stayed in for just a little while longer. Could you imagine the anti-J. Cole diss from Kendrick?
I can think about it, but I think, face Scuba Q to say, you might want to stay out of this. So basically, Top Dog kind of saved your ass from going that route. And that's it for me.
All right, cool. Now that leaves it to me to do the other half of all this. I did not listen to any of the hip hop stuff. It's pretty much just straight rock and metal for me. I mean, you know, granted, I honestly really did have my fingers crossed we were gonna get a whole ass like fuck Drake EP, but like maybe in May, who knows? Hell, by the time this episode goes up, Not Like Us could be the number one song in the country, for all we know.
Hopefully.
That's gonna be fun. But, let's move on down the list here. I've got four albums that I consider my top picks for the month. First up here... So I don't know if you know this, but the world fucking blows. It feels like everything is just flushing down the shitter and we're all just twiddling our thumbs and playing with ourselves waiting for the fucking heat death of the universe, and we can't even like watch it from a distance. We have to fucking live through it as everything sinks into death, despair, and nothingness. So it's a good thing that I have an album this month that captures my frustrations better than my own words ever could, and that is GOAT, the third and latest album for the band Antichrist Demon Core. As is tradition for this particular band, the style here is very filthy, crusty, and has a lot of just, like, shotgun blasting of energy in a short span of time. While it would technically break the Alex threshold of a track listing at 17 songs, it actually only runs about 23 minutes, so it's very in and out, short, sweet, and to the fucking point. Yeah, that's something you learn to deal with in this genre, but, you know, bit means, like, more replay for me, personally. And, you know, the first few songs, you get, like, a lot of that very aggressive energy with tons of filthy riffs, aggressive pounding drums, loud, just gruff as hell shouting aggressive vocals. And then you actually get into the lyrical subject matter, and everything's all about, again, as I said, how everything is pretty much fleshing itself down to shit. The first handful of songs on the record belt out a lot of lyrics that are kind of like, you know, more mental anguish and despair, anxiety, wanting peace in a world that robs you of it, suicidal ideation, all that kind of stuff. But then it starts taking its shots at various bigger societal ills, such as the song Clout Chaser calling out, well, clout chasers, Flying Pigs, which is a straight up ACAB jam, if you know, you know. Vested Interest, about how much vapid capitalistic bullshit basically covers every single aspect of existence, and boy, has that ever felt more relevant than ever this week. Microsoft, I swear to God, like, and I just finished Hi-Fi Rush a couple months ago, and now I'm pissed we're probably never gonna get a sequel or any DLC or anything. That game fucking rules.
It's like, we bought this thing. Now let's destroy it now.
God damn, they've been fucking shitting themselves inside out since the tail end of the 360 era. But anyway, getting back on topic, my personal favorite song on the album is called Thought Police, THOT. Which is a song that's just a colossal, gigantic middle finger at garbage, terminally online incels who spend all their free time online acting like they have the right to talk about, you know, talk shit about women online. Like, motherfucker, get your fucking ass the fuck out of here. At least that OnlyFans model has people in their lives that actually fucking love them.
Yeah. Yeah, at least they have love. At least they show love to people who are like y'all.
Feels good when there's songs talking shit about that kind of thing. So, yeah, good album. It's very much, as the kids would say, a mood. Now, moving on to the next album here, Lifeless Birth, also the third and newest record from this particular band, specifically death metalers Necrod, who are a relatively newer name. Like, this is their third album in, like, 7-ish years, and they're 3 for 3 so far. It rules pretty hard. There's not a lot in terms of surprises here. It's still very much in kind of like the Tomb Mold, Vastum, Incantation kind of a style of death metal. Lots of immaculate pummeling riffs, very relentless pounding drums with tons of double kick, often settling into nice grooves as well. Plenty of growling vocals that are caked in lots of reverb. All of that stuff's here and accounted for, with the production being as perfect as you could ask for, with the nice punchiness and attack to all the instruments, while everything is still very, you know, very gritty and nasty. And their songwriting chops are pretty excellent. The riffs are always, like, very memorable and in your face. They always know how to bring in, like, a nice bridge or, you know, a break in the groove at just the exact right moment. There's not too much to expound on here. They're just, like, really good, like, musicians and songwriters. The vibes are evil, just utterly vile. So, like I said, if Vastum and Incantation are the kinds of death metal stuff that you spin on the regular, and you've been sleeping on Necrod so far, time to stop doing that. Now, moving on to my third top pick here, Couch Slut. And I have to admit, I just checked out this band on a whim because one of my favorite sort of shit talkers in the metal Twitter scene, Metal.Text, was actually saying some high praises about them, so I found myself very interested hearing some of the singles, and I'll kind of use this album as kind of like a benchmark to explain what their vibe is, since I'm pretty sure this is the first time I've ever talked about them here. So their musical style is very filthy, crusty, and quite hardcore, with a lot of atonal discordant guitar riffs, lots of that twangy chord progressions, and plenty of amp feedback. It kind of sounds like a metal version of, like, older Metz records, a band that I will bring up in a little bit, quite shortly. The rhythms kind of, like, swap between slow to mid-tempo grooves and a lot of more steady driving beats, the drums banging all that out quite nicely, the guitar being very abrasive, but of course, something that gets your attention right away are the vocals of Megan Ostrosetz. Not just because of her particular mix of very gravelly, throat-shredding shouts and more kind of like intimidating spoken word passages, but also because a lot of the album's lyrical content. Like, The Attitude can be laden with a lot of dread and fear, writing out a lot of very vivid but disgusting imagery, like the song Wilkinson's Sword, which is about the narrator kind of developing a lot of self-harm habits. And then you occasionally get tracks with a bit more snark, like Energy Crystals for Healing and the interlude track Presidential Welcome. But there's also like a bit more of a narrative side to kind of like how the band writes their songs, and there's two very narrative tracks here that get my attention. One being The Donkey, which is this just really surreal, like, image of, like, so the band is kind of telling the story, like, okay, they got, like, fired from a haunted water park, they were doing, like, drugs and weird costumes, and kind of, like, a lot of the escalating cascade of surreal tragedies falling out from that moment. And the album closer, The Weaversville Home for Boys, which is pretty much straight up your, you know, like, very, like, shock horror movie with a weird twist about, like, the narrator kind of hearing a lot about this abandoned detention facility for boys and just kind of, like, this surreal tale that spins all out of that. But, yeah, you know, it's very dark, it's very intense. If you're looking for some more under-the-radar type stuff, I definitely recommend some Couch Slut.
I don't know why, but that sounds like a band that would have heard a regular show or close enough if you actually got a fourth season.
Oh, man, now I'm sad. Yeah. It absolutely should have gotten a fourth season, or at least a proper finale.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to the last top pick here, Full of Hell with Coagulated Bliss. So, it's been about 3 years since their last effort on their own, Garden of Burning Apparitions. And that might sound like an eternity as far as, like, grindcore band years, but they have, of course, had a whole two other albums in that time, including last December with the shoegaze band Nothing. But again, now they're back in the studio on their own, and of course, as always, there's some real heat cooking on this one. Hitting play on the album opener, Half-Life of Changelings, you get a lot of those typical Full of Hell isms with the very discordant riffs, the aggressive tremolos, pummeling kick runs, and utterly savage screeching and vocal bells and all that stuff. And the production stands out right away because I think in comparison to the style of Apparitions, the instruments here definitely sound a bit sharper and punchier than the deliberate muddiness of that previous album. Not saying one's necessarily better than the other, I just think that's an interesting shift over between records. And that kind of intense shotgun blast of energy carries through much of the record with songs like Vomiting Glass and Gasping Dust, featuring the kind of nonstop adrenaline typical of the band and the genre with tons of blast beats and all that sort of stuff. But, of course, this being Full of Hell, there is the occasional curveball here and there to mix things up across the 25 minutes that this record runs for. The single Doors to Mental Agony has more of the steady rhythmic pacing to most of its run, with the occasional burst of blasts, while Gelding of Men is this more slow pounding dirge with its chords kind of exploding in rhythm with the very sparse drums and all. Songs like Transmuting Chemical Burns kind of has more of this vibe akin to like recent era Pig Destroyer. And, of course, you get a lot of the requisite industrial influence in songs like Fractured Bonds to Mecca. And we even get the requisite super long track here, the 6-minute doom-laden noise track Bleeding Horizon. Because it wouldn't be a Full of Hell album without one of those. But yeah, it's Full of Hell doing what they do best, and it still absolutely goes hard as fuck and is very dark and grimy and nasty. Make sure your vaccinations are updated, people. And now we're going to go on to the quick round. Starting up here, like I said, Metz, Up on Gravity Hill. Told you we'd come back to them. 4 years out from the last album, Atlas Vending, this one carries itself in a very similar vein as it kind of balances out their usual penchant for loud, noisy rock jams with a bit more attention paid towards sort of more tuneful songwriting. Like, the production still has, like, amp feedback, twang. The musicianship still has a lot of that discordant feeling, punk energy to it, but there's more discernible melodies and catchy hooks poking its way in and out of a lot of the songs here. Of course, then we have the newest See You Space Cowboy album, Coup de Grace, and I feel like your tolerance for this is probably going to depend on how you feel about, well, this is for those who had an emo phase back in the day. Not that I would know anything about that. But anyway, however you feel about your emo phase and whether you're willing to revisit something in that ilk. Like, the band started off very, like, screamo and hardcore in a more underground sense, but on this record especially, they've kind of been moving more in a direction that's, like, what you would hear in a Hot Topic or, like, a hypothetical comeback of the band's Warped Tour. Although, to the band's credit, I think their songwriting is a bit stronger than similar bands of this ilk, because while they do definitely have, like, those kinds of choruses and chugs, there's still this kind of mathier discordance to things. But there's also, like, the lyrical concept that's kind of like this whole thing about a tragic, doomed romance and all. So, do with all that information what you will. For what it's worth, I didn't think it was that bad. Cloud Nothings, Final Summer. They definitely delivered, like, another solidly reliable rock record here. One that, more than any others they've put out, has a very firm, like, nostalgia for a great summer road trip feel to it. Black Tusk, The Way Forward. 6 years since their last record. Not much else to add. It's kind of more of a, if you know, you know. But they definitely haven't skipped a beat. It's still very a lot of a sludgy, catchy, mosh-ready metal jam. So, there you go. And last but not least, this new Inter Arma record, New Heaven. About 5 years out from their last original studio album. I'm not counting the covers record released in the interim. And for me, this album's kind of a mixed bag. Like, I remember liking Sulfur English fine enough. But this one kind of feels a bit lopsided, where a lot of, like, the aggro, fast-tempo tracks that are really discordant are kind of in the first half, and that's kind of the style of Inter Arma song that I'm not that big on. Meanwhile, the back half, where the songs are slower, moodier, and all that kind of stuff, that I tended to enjoy a bit more. So, like, for example, my favorite track here was the single Concrete Cliffs, and my favorite single off their last album was Stillness, and I think that might just be my favorite Inter Arma song, period. So I'd say proceed at your own risk. Maybe you get more out of the discordant stuff than I did, but that's just my opinion. And yeah, that's pretty much about it. So like I said, we're going to have a, that's pretty much everything. We're going to have a playlist as usual down in the description of the stuff that we recommend listening to, or at least our favorite tracks from all these albums, assuming it's an album that we have a favorite track on and isn't some, like, bullshit. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezzo, like us on Facebook, visit SurrealResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast, O&A, all of that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can be notified whenever anything new goes up there. You pretty much know all that stuff. And don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Well, that'll about do it for this month. We'll, of course, be back for the next roundup for the month of May in June and all that good stuff. So until then, peace.